Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Next to your jealous heart, oh, because I love you, Daddy.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. We got a great show tonight, but I first want to say thank you to my listeners, north to south, east to west, and everyone in the 37 countries around the world who tunes in. I appreciate you. You don't know how good that makes me feel that globally, you know, I got a listening band, you know, my peeps, whatever you want to call them. But before I bring on my special guest, I want to say hello to my co-host, Chris. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Terry, and I just want to add to your statement. I'm glad that we have all those listeners too.
Yeah, and I haven't checked. Maybe it could be more. I haven't checked in a while because you know I'm going through my own medical crisis right now. But I'm going to introduce my guest before I bring her on. It's Pastor Danielle Taylor, and this woman is phenomenal. Her story is so heartwarming and candid. You know, and a lot of women has gone through what she has went through. Now, she is a mother of three by three different men, and they took advantage of her emotionally and physically, and she had no way to go but to Jesus. She will candidly open up about her life experiences as she helps others get rescued because there is hope. You know, a lot of time when we go through stuff, we act like, I feel so ashamed that this happened to me. I can't tell nobody. I'm a victim, and I'm stuck. You're never stuck because God loves you, and he's going to find a way to bring you out of whatever that is that you're caught up into, whether depression, emotional, and physical abuse. God got a plan to get you out. He got his angels sprinkled around to help facilitate you getting rescued, which is the topic of her new book as well. But before I go into detail, I'm going to bring on this beautiful woman, Pastor Danielle Taylor. How are you?
I am incredible. How are the both of you?
Good.
Girl,
good.
I need prayer.
Don't
yeah.
We all?
Yes, baby. And, you know, I'm so glad that you decided to come on tonight because I've talked to a lot of women, you know, and I know, not just talking to them, I know personally a lot of women who have felt like, because they had children when they was young and because it wasn't by the same father, people would look down on them like they was whores or prostitutes. That's not true because you love who you love. And sometimes a person will come into your life for a reason or for a season, and they'll give you what you feel that you need emotionally, and they don't turn out to be the right person. So I'm glad that you decided to share your story because I want people to hear you and know that, hey, I'm a pastor, you know. I'm sitting here trying to counsel you to help you get past what you're going through. So I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. So, you know, God delivered me, and he can definitely deliver you. And on that note, tell us a little bit more about the stuff that I ain't already revealed.
Well, you have summed it up quite well. But, yes, I am a pastor. I'm also a business owner. You didn't sum that part up. I have been an entrepreneur for the last 22 years. And actually, my story is what propelled me into being an entrepreneur, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Being a single parent and not having my child's father in her life, it really pushed me to sit back and to decide who I am, what I'm going to do with my life, set goals for myself, and it pushed me into becoming a business owner, and the rest is history. I own a tax company, credit restoration company, boutique. And I just recently opened an event center, and God is just adding to the list and the resume. And like you said, some things are for a season, but the challenges are supposed to make us better if we look at it that way and decide, okay, I made a mistake, I made a bad decision, but I'm not going to let it hold me back because I still have a purpose, I still have a future and a destiny that must be fulfilled.
And also, Danielle, people don't realize it. When you go through something down here, that's what gives you your testimony because you ain't going to have a testimony without a test. You're not going to go to school and get a grade without a test. You're not going to be with somebody and not be tested to deal with their stuff. You know, you got to go through a test to get graded. And if you want God to count you in, you're going to go through something. And that's just how it is.
Absolutely. And, you know, we all have, you know, the Bible says that he knows our ends from the beginning. He has a plan for us And we've got to be honest and understand that the plan is not a bed of roses. The plan is not for everything to be perfect. Like you said, they're going to be tests and challenges. If we look at Job, and the enemy said, hey, you know, I want to touch Job's wife, but you got a hedge around him. And God said, okay, I've got a hedge around him, but I'll take it down. Just don't destroy his soul. And oftentimes we are placed in positions where opposition, turmoil, issues, that's just our course, because God is trying to test our faithfulness and show the enemy, look, you may bring all of these attacks and things against her, but guess what? She belongs to me. He belongs to me. They're faithfully mine, and I trust that they're going to make the right decision. And that's what I did. I made the right decision. I made a turnaround, and I said, you know what? I may have slipped up this time, but that's okay, because I am going to make the right decision because of for my love for God. I've got to make sure that I complete his will.
But you know something, Danielle, you talked about Job, and a lot of people use the reference of Job when you talk about being tested. You know, I'm going to do better than that. Look at Jesus. He was flawed. Skin pulled out of his body. You know, they poured vinegar into his wounds. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. He couldn't even carry his cross. You know, when he fell down from the weight of the cross, this black man helped carry the cross the rest of the way. But the Bible don't tell everybody the full story. But what I'm saying is that if that person, the God and man, if Jesus Christ hadn't came and rose from the dead in 3 days, we would not have an opportunity to have salvation and have a chance to go to heaven, because we got two places to go, heaven or hell. Hell ain't my home. So, you know, I'm going to put my faith in the man who can steal the water, who can make the wind not to blow, the man who can resurrect after 3 years. And no one else in history can claim that rose from the dead. So, hey, you know, that's one I want to follow, and I thank you for, you know, bringing hope to these women. You know, and I know your ministry go beyond your tax service or your boutique or the other things that you do, because once you get a testimony, it's hard not to share with people who come in your path. You want to talk about it because you know how good it is that God saved you. He brought you through something, you know. So a lot of times, if you ain't never been through nothing, you can't relate to what I'm saying. But I've been close to death many a time, so I know what I'm saying is true. But, you know, if you ain't been tested yet, trust and believe, you will be tested soon. But I'm going to stop getting off topic, but tell me about the first guy that disrespected the Nubian queen that you are.
Well, I mean, it's a very interesting story, but something that probably many women have dealt with. I met a young man when I was 16 years old. He was almost 10 years my senior, and he told me, Terry, he said, when you are 18 years old, you're going to be mine. And so he watched me. He developed a friendship, not just with me, but also with my mother. And when I turned 18 years old, he made his move. However, the thing was, and I want to be very clear with women especially that's listening here, no means no. Our situation wasn't that it was a violent rape. He didn't beat me up or anything like that. You know, I invited him over for company. But the thing was is that that's not what I wanted to do. And when I said no, he didn't stop. And we just kind of ended the scenario, though, after I consistently said no. So he did stop eventually, but he went far enough that I became pregnant. And that was how I got pregnant.
Exactly.
Right. And we were not in a relationship. So that, you know, was how I became pregnant in the first instance, and ending up being a single parent, having to handle it by myself, because actually the gentleman was married. He was married, but separated, but married. And that was one of the reasons I didn't want to pursue anything, go any further. We had just talked as friends, but I was like, no, this isn't something that I, you know, want to do. But that was how it happened. But this is the thing, Terry, I kept that a secret, other than he and I, you know, talking about it, became very angry with him, very resentful over the years. And I never told my family, I never told my friends or anything what happened and how I became pregnant until I wrote my book, Rescue Me. And the Lord just told me, Danielle, you have to tell your story, because you are not the only woman that this has happened to, because this is what happened. I've always been a praise and worship leader in church since I was like 10 years old. God has strongly gifted me in that area. I've sang with some of the gospel greats. I've gone around the country singing. And when that happened, though, people started to look at me. Oh, she did this. You know, down her. Oh, she must be promiscuous. And because I was embarrassed, I allowed it to happen. I took the bad name. I took the bad rap, knowing that it wasn't my fault that I was in the situation that I was in. But I didn't know it wasn't my fault. For many years, I walked around with the guilt and the shame of being a single parent, and especially being in a Pentecostal church, a holiness church, a sanctified church. Oh, they talking about
me like
a dog. My
dad was a Pentecostal minister. I know what you're talking about, baby. I know.
And so there was a real fight. And didn't release the truth of what happened until just a few years ago, and when my daughter was an adult and I felt like she could really handle what happened. The great thing about it, though, is that, you know, her father and I have, you know, over the years, long before I even released the story, mended our relationship and friendship, and have been great co-parents to our daughter. Even though she's an adult now, we have a wonderful relationship. But we just had to be real about what happened, and that really freed me. And I just want to, you know, encourage some other woman to be honest about what happened. If you have to have a conversation to help free you with the person that violated you, get to that point where you're able to get that closure if you can from that person, because that was another thing that he and I was able to talk, and he was able to say, look, I'm sorry, and you have been a great mother, though. And for him to apologize and to give me the accolades of how wonderful I've been to our daughter, that really helped me to heal.
But, Danielle, before I let Chris ask this question, I want to make a statement. You said that you were telling him to stop. You know, and a lot of people don't get it. You know, I'm sure – I put money on it that this guy probably said some crap to you. How you gonna be pregnant? We only did it one time. It don't take a bunch of times to get pregnant. All it takes is one little microscopic semen to get up inside and get pregnant. You know, and some guys think if I pull it out, you know, the little bit that drop off can get you pregnant. So I know if you're listening, it don't take much to get pregnant. It could be your first time. It could be just a little moisture down there, and you think it's nothing that you can just wipe off, but you can get pregnant.
You're right. And, you know, I didn't even know. I didn't know until I was almost 4 months pregnant, because that was even my thought. I was upset because it happened. You know, we had the rift between us because the intercourse had happened, but I had no idea that it would even lead to a pregnancy. And the great thing is, because I was not out there. See, that's what people, you know, start to judge a person that gets pregnant. I wasn't out there. I wasn't having sex with anybody. I was only 18 years old. And again, in a Pentecostal church, I didn't even know really what sex was. And when we had the encounter that we had, I had absolutely no idea that a pregnancy would happen out of it. It was a year after I graduated from high school, but it changed my entire life. Once I did find out that I was pregnant, and because scholarships were off the table, I had to stay home and take care of this baby, this pending pregnancy, and figure out exactly how I was going to handle this and what I was going to do the rest of my life, knowing that a relationship with he and I was absolutely impossible.
Yeah, and one more story. I just thought about what you were saying. You know, people, male and female, don't understand that sometimes when a woman is pregnant, she still can have a menstrual cycle. So they don't believe a person is pregnant when they say they were, because for the first 3 or 4 months, they have a menstrual cycle. You know, and sometimes it stops, sometimes it don't. So you can be pregnant and still have your monthly cycle. So don't think that, you know, don't let people get in your head and say, well, you had a menstrual cycle, so I put you some tampons. You know, you ain't pregnant with my baby. Don't. You know what you know. Look on your calendar. You know who you was with. So, ladies, don't count yourself out. If you've been violated, no means no. When you say no and they continue on, it's rape. And before I get any further with this, I'm going to let my co-host ask this question, because this topic is so precious to me, because I want women to know you got help out there. There's, you know, don't be ashamed of what happened to you, or because you thought this person was cute or fine, or you've known them for a long time from around the way. So how can this be happening? Stuff happens, you know. And on that note, I'm going to let Chris ask his question.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. Yes, Pastor Taylor. My name is Chris Michael Ward. My first question is, When you finally turned to Jesus and God, was this your last resort, or was this something that you planned, like, you know, that you procrastinated on?
Well, no, I mean, like I said, I've always been in ministry, had given my heart to the Lord as a young girl. So it was where I knew to go, being in the crisis that I was in. I had a very strong background. You know, my mother is an evangelist as well, had a very strong background in ministry. So I knew where to turn to. Unfortunately, I know there's a lot of women that don't know where to turn to, but I would just encourage that if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, get one, and especially in a crisis and when you're in a situation like I was in, that is the best place to turn. But I already knew where to turn. I knew where home was. I knew where my heart belonged. I knew where my life and my destiny and my future belonged, and I just turned my attention to the cross.
Great.
Amen. You know, I'm glad that Chris asked that question, because it's sad that people heard about the man, heard about the God that's called Jesus, and all they want to tell you is stuff that they heard about from someone else, and they don't really know Christ. And a lot of times people out there that feed into depression or suicide, I would stake a bet on it that they didn't know Jesus. Because one thing I found by knowing Jesus, because I myself have thought about suicide a couple of times, but it's because the relationship that's in you that I have with Christ is the reason why I'm still here, because there's no reason I should still be here, you know. And I implore people, before it gets too bad, before you got to go through your test, get to know the man, get to know the God, get to know the one who's on the Trinity, you know, get to know the person who saved you, get to know Jesus, because that's the best advice I could give you, because you're going to go through some stuff in your life, and if you don't get to know Christ, God forbid, you know, hell might be your home. And I'm sorry, but sometimes I laugh. When I'm disgusted or when it bothers me, I laugh. But I'm not laughing because there ain't nothing funny about this topic and nothing funny about what I said. But sometimes I got to laugh out of just, like, disbelief.
And I wanted to say something as a part to an answer to his question. However, that was, I would say, my first real adult experience in understanding the true power of the forgiveness of God. You know, of course,
Amen.
We always quote that there is now, therefore, no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. And, you know, I had fights. I had battles with being condemned because I was in that situation. And I have to be honest, I wasn't in that situation because he drugged me to his house. I was in the situation because I invited him over, even knowing his status. So that was a fight with me. But that was my first time that I really was able to see the forgiveness and the power of Christ, and how I was able to just refocus myself. And he said, daughter, I forgive you. I forgive you for even putting yourself in the situation, for, you know, the flirtation or whatever you may have done to even cause the attention and the attraction to, you know, this man to you. So I forgive you for that. And it was very powerful to be able to turn to God in that particular moment.
And also, Pastor Danielle Taylor, you know, people might not know this, but I'm going to say it for the ones who don't know, the people out there who know Christ, they know that once God forgives you, it's thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. It will not come up again ever. So once you bear your soul and be honest about things that about yourself you would like to change or you're ashamed of, trust and believe. Once you pray about it and give it to God, it's gone. You ain't got to pick it up no more. You ain't got to worry about the person down the block or around the corner saying, well, I remember when you did this. Fine, you can live all you want to, but because of amazing grace, I'm not that person I used to be. So keep stepping, you know. Don't ever take your prayers and your concerns to God and worry about them. Go up to an altar call, and then you tell the minister, whoever, well, I need help with this. You don't leave the altar and pick up the same crap. You leave it there. God got this. Once you take it to Christ in prayer, leave it there. I don't care what the people out there are going to say about you, because they always want to bring you down. That's Satan. They're going to always throw somebody in your face, whether it's relative or friends, to try to make you feel like you ain't good enough. How are you going to be saved when you did this, 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 this? I don't care. Once you give it to God, it's thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. And, you know, stick your chest out. Because you're brand new now. You know, you ain't got to worry about that. Just don't keep committing sin after sin after sin. We all want to fall short of the glory of God when he calls us home. But at the end time, you know, try to be a better person than what you were yesterday. I'm not saying I'm not going to commit sin, but I'm not going to knowingly commit sin, you know. And when stuff happens, you know, I ask for forgiveness, and I get back in the mind of the saints and keep it moving, you know. But, you know, I'm still working on me. I'm a work in progress because everybody know that because of my previous jobs I had as a paramedic in the fire department, working on tractor trailer, you know, working in the prison system, you know, part of the induction was cussing and all this other stuff that I got to the point that I just started cussing all the time. And I loved it because I was good at cussing. But if you knew me then and know me now, you can see that I don't cuss as much as I used to. So I'm better than what I was. Because, baby, when I would cuss the English language, you never really heard that. You just heard my cuss words. I could string it together so smooth. You say, wow, that's the language all to itself. It's all profanity, you know. But I just had to put that out there. Go ahead, Chris. Ask the question. But before Chris come back on, I heard you laugh in the background, Pastor. Is something you want to say?
Oh, no, it's just funny because I've never heard anybody put it the way that you put it when you talked about the English language. I'm not much of a cusser. That wasn't my vice.
Okay, yeah, that was mine. But, you know, when Satan can get a hold of you, he can make you do things that seems like he's so good for you. You know, because even when I stopped back in the day selling drugs or trying drugs, you know, and I was good, you know, I didn't go to no rehab. I just prayed about it and it stopped completely. So Satan figured that, okay, he couldn't get me. I started having dreams like, girl, go ahead and go get some drugs, man. Police ain't gonna catch you. You're gonna be sicker this time. And I was fighting that dream. I said, no, this ain't me. This ain't me. And I would wake up and realize it was a dream because dreams seem real. It makes you feel like you can do it. And I keep telling my other family and friends that I know, look, if you ever got yourself clean, don't go backwards, because if you go backwards, it's going to be hard to get clean again because Satan is going to know that you're weak, you know. So anything you know you don't do, you know you're afraid about it, but you dream about it, whatever, it ain't real. It's Satan trying to get you caught up again. And I'm going to shut my fat mouth and let Chris ask his question.
All right, Pastor Danielle Taylor. My next question is, you might have already discussed this, but like since turning to God and Christ, what has been the best thing that's happened to you? Reconciling with your ex, would you say, or something else?
Oh, I would just say my entire life. You know, everything has always been so much better. Of course, when I put God first, and I believe that we can all attest to that, because when we try things our own way, we get our own results. Sometimes we get good results, but if there's nothing like getting a God result. And I've just seen my life just propel in so many different ways. It just skyrocketed, you know, my business doing better, even with my children, you know, having children that are in a successful place. My oldest daughter, she's actually a business owner also with me in my company. And then my middle baby, she's in college now, and she was in the Miss Georgia Corporation last year, ran for Miss Georgia, doing great things with her life. My baby's getting ready to graduate from high school. And I've just seen the different milestones that we have made. And I know that my testimony for all of these things is I could not have done it without the Lord. Even now, educational strides that I am receiving and just recognition for things that I've done in life on. 2 Saturdays ago, I received my honorary doctorate in Christian business education, and that was a wonderful honor. I am also I'm an author, of course. Like I said, the business ventures that I have started my own ministry, eChurch International. It's getting just great feedback from the people here in the community, and all of the things I have to attribute the success to me turning to God, even the relationships that have been restored. All of that is because of God.
Yeah.
Well, praise God for that. And that's just real talk. You know, people need to understand that, you know, they think that when a person is a Christian, they think that, they're going to always say all this positive stuff about God. But, you know, just do your research. The best selling book that's ever been wrote is the Bible. It's been around for thousands of years. And it's still the most popular book out there. You know, every culture every religion, they know about the man called Jesus. Some might call him a prophet. Some might call him a messenger. But how can everybody know about you if there ain't something there about it? Because even rock stars and musicians, you know, a lot of people might know him, but everybody don't know him. But that's the one name under heaven that all knees should bow, on the earth, under the earth, and in heaven, by the name of Jesus. So you got to get to know this man for yourself, not because what Terry Lyle said, because you know something, your salvation, you know, I would hope that you pick the right choice and path to go. But you know something, at the end of the day, I'm worried about getting my little fat behind in heaven. You know, if you get there before I just need to do a crack, because I'm going to slide through like I'm a baseball player. I'm going to steal home base. Trust me, I tell you, I ain't trying to stay down here, and I ain't trying to go to hell. But have what you experienced with the baby's fathers, have all three of those men came back around and tried to mend what was done and be a part of your daughter's life? Or was it the first guy?
Now that type of situation was only with the first guy. But even in that, you know, as I have moved forward in the things of the Lord, God has a way of just bringing things together where I have very peaceful relationships with my children's fathers. They have great relationships. And we have an extended family, such an extended family. I tell people all the time, I got a lot of children. Because, of course, you know, their fathers have children from other relationships or marriages. And I just wanted to point to something when you were talking about the word, even as it pertains to bringing people together and keeping people together. You know, I did eventually get married to an awesome man of God. My husband and I pastored together for many years, but we went through a divorce at the end of 2021, and that was another time, Chris, that turning to God really helped to show me God's power. I remember in November of 2020, God spoke to me, and I was starting my online ministry, and he said, I want you to do 365 days through the Bible. And I said, are you kidding? I'm not even in at 6:30 in the morning. I said, I'm not a morning person, God. Are you sure you're talking to me? But when God gives you something, it's like I immediately just started. I got online the next morning. I got a reading plan, and I started just reading the word. That's it, reading the word and praying at 6:30 in the morning. And little did I know, he was preparing me for something that I didn't know was coming. And long story short, my husband and I separated in March of the next year. And I thought in those first five months that, oh, God, you're using me to speak to the people. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm going to read the word, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to exhort a little bit, and this is for the people. And I realized that was for me. Because Amen. He was focusing me on his word. He was causing me to center my attention on him, and I was so wrapped up and caught up in his word that I didn't lose my mind when most people would have. Because, you know, divorce can get really, really ugly. We had some really ugly, nasty parts of it that I was just like, wow, I never dreamed that this would be happening in my life, because things had turned around so much from what happened to this 18, 19-year-old girl. But it was the word that kept me. And I remember going through that entire 365 days through the Bible, and guess what? It took me through my entire separation. It took me through my divorce, carried me about a month afterward, and when I finished, I was whole. When I finished, Amen. I wasn't this broken woman that was, you know, still bleeding all over the place. Of course, divorce is a process that you will grieve over and you'll work through for several years, but I was at a place that I had more strength than I even understood that I would have. And I told my bishop and even my therapist, because I went to therapy also, and I said, you know what, I'm good. And she was just shocked, you know, somebody coming out of the divorce and some of the things that you went through, I can't believe that you're saying that. And I knew it was the word. The word of God. And when you get in it and you understand what God says about who he is, who his nature is, and you know that, okay, God, I might be going through a tough time, but because I know you love me, I'm going to trust the process. Because I know that you say that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, I am not going to allow anything that's being said and done in this hour to tear me down and to cut me down, to make me lose sight of who you say that I am. And the word was what kept me focused and grounded. I'll tell any woman today, if you are going through any situation with a man, whether it's physical abuse, whether it's mental abuse, whether it's going through a divorce, whether it's, you know, the man not being there for his children. I've lived through all of it. But when you decide that you are going to stand in agreement with God's word and what he says about you, you will be able to come out on top.
Amen. Amen. And you said it so eloquently. There's nothing else I can say about that. I'm just going to let Chris get the opportunity to say what he want to ask you real quick before we bring you on to talk about your book.
Okay, yeah. Well, my next question was about her book. I was just going to ask her what the best review was that she ever got for her book, Rescue Me.
Well, I tell you what. I think one of the best reviews came from Dr. K.N. Jacobs, who also wrote my foreword for it. He has a PhD. He's also a pastor. He's in Atlanta now, but his ministry circles the globe. He's from Kenya. He has, like, oh, my gosh, like 2 million followers on social media. But anyways, I did an interview with him and helped to push the book, and he wrote such or gave me such great reviews when I did my ministry lunch in January, because he just talked about the realness of the book and how it touched him, and as his wife was reading it, and the different people that he knows this book is going to reach. It is a very, very, very real account of things that have happened in my life. Each chapter starts with, dear God, this is what happened to me. This is how I'm feeling about it. God, I'm sorry. I need you to rescue me. And what we both decided and what he said out of it was how I turn the people's focus back to the power that God has given all of us to be able to utilize his word and the spirit that works in us to be able to shift our mindset so that we can participate in our own rescue. Because so many people would just sit back and say, woe is me. But again, when we get in his word and when we understand what it says about us and when we take the direction and follow the process, then God will be able to move and through us, through our own efforts, so that we'll be rescued out of this situation. But that was one of the best reviews that I've gotten. He said, Danielle, this book is a language that is universal and that will transcend so many different countries, continents, and different languages. I've had people that have purchased the book in other nations, and we're just looking forward to pushing this project to more women so that they can see that they're not alone. You know, a successful, beautiful woman like myself, hey, I went through some stuff. But guess what? I'm still standing because of that.
But, you know, people can't tell by looking at you because you're a beautiful woman. I'm talking about physical attributes, you know, and people think if you look pretty and you ain't been through nothing, they just don't know how good God is. So good that, you know, he can take an alcoholic and make a little eat clean. He can take you and clean you up so well, people won't see the wounds that were left when he got you, you know, but they can see the product after he restored you.
You're right, because that's one of the things that I even write about in this book. In chapter 5, is talking about insecurity. I even shared this story with a friend on last night, and he was blown away. He's very complimentary. He was talking about the outfit that I had on, and he was like, oh, my gosh, you look so beautiful tonight. And I said, you know what? I haven't always felt beautiful, though. I remember growing up, and it was the flip-flop opposite. I'm biracial from black mother, white father. And so all of my cousins and everybody's around me, I don't have any sisters and brothers, they were very dark-skinned. So I wanted to be dark-skinned too. So all my life, even through high school, I fought with feeling like I fit in or that like I was pretty because I didn't look like everybody else. And even as an adult, I struggled. I really, really struggled with insecurity of, am I pretty enough? And will I be accepted? You know how as women, we already kind of have these butterflies in our stomach when we get ready to go on a date. You know, look good enough. But that was a real thing for me. So I even open up about that because so many women, we pick out that one thing on us, whether my hair ain't long enough, or I feel like my ear's too big, or my stomach ain't flat enough.
Or mold on your face or whatever.
Yeah, and we pick ourselves apart. And I even talked about the healing process of how I was able to shift from that place of insecurity and really understand that I am somebody special. Even if I have flaws, even if I have visual imperfections, even if I don't look like what the world says beautiful, we are all beautiful. We have beauty, and when we learn to embrace that, we will feel so much better about ourselves, because that sometimes what holds us back is the insecurity of even how we look or how we present ourselves from doing other things in life. But, yeah, that was a big struggle for me.
Well, Danielle, I so appreciate you being here. But real quick, because we ran out of time, we're going a little overtime right here. Tell people how they can get your book, Rescue Me.
I cut out on that one.
Tell people how they can get your book, Rescue Me.
Okay, you can get it on Amazon. Go to Amazon.com. Just type in Rescue Me, J. Danielle Taylor. Or you can go to my website, jdanielletaylor.com. Or echurchinternational.com will have a link to it. But Amazon is by far the best way to go on and get the book. And you can follow me on any social media outlets. I believe there are links on all of them. TikTok, Lady J. Danielle Taylor. Facebook, J. Danielle Taylor. Instagram, J. Danielle Taylor Official. If you put in J. Danielle, you're going to find it.
Amen, amen. And me and Chris like to thank you for being here this weekend, because we know Friday is an important time for a lot of people. They don't want to come on and do an interview on a Friday, but we appreciate you, because your message is going to reach a lot of people, and that's what we try to do here on Unmasked.
Mm-hmm.
We try to be informative while we try to reach people where they are in their life. Is something you want to say, Chris?
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you. Yeah, we bring different people on, you know, with different points of view.
Amen. So, darling, yeah. Appreciate you. And, Chris, what do we always tell our guests when they want to show?
You are family. Boom, 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 boom,
that's
boom,
right. Boom, boom, boom. I got all my sisters with me. Yeah, you can always come back, baby. Once you've been on the show.
Well, thank you. I may need, you know, I do some shows here and there, so I'm going to put you on my list to have you come back, and we're going to interview the interviewer.
Sounds like a plan. Just call up and I'll be there. Yes.
Yes. I have thoroughly enjoyed. Thank you all so much for having me.
We thoroughly enjoyed you as well. And on that note, you have a great weekend. You stay safe and you stay healthy as well, Chris. You know, you do your thing. Don't work too hard. I'll see you back here next Friday.
Okay. See you next Friday. Bye-bye.
Bye, Danielle.
Bye-bye.
Overriding the